Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're here today. And if you want to join me and Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Alice Benton on the radio program today, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk with you, and a big welcome to Mylon and Alice.
Hello, Steve. Hi, Mylon.
Hey, Alice and Steve. It's great to be with you.
You know,
and
one of the things...
Merry Monday.
Go ahead.
Just Merry Monday.
Yeah. When you call, you can be guaranteed we are not going to slug you as Will Smith did last night. I didn't watch the Oscars, but I saw these videos. What a moment that was when he just walks up on stage and hits the guy. Oh, my goodness. Well, we're not going to do that to you. In fact, we will be really nice to you, and this is kind of a shame-free, pain-free, well, sometimes painful, zone here. By the way, I've got 10 tips to shame-free living that I would love to send some folks if you've really struggled with shame. In other words, not just guilt, where, you know, guilt's a good thing. You feel guilty, and then you say, oh, maybe I ought to not do this anymore, and then I wouldn't feel this. But shame is more kind of an indictment of yourself, kind of an identity. Want to talk about that a little bit, Mylon, Alice? What do you think?
Yeah, shame is a belief that something's wrong with me, or I'm flawed, or there is a basic, something's not right with me. And because of that, I'm bad, I'm flawed. If any criticism pops up or any mistakes are made, the person immediately feels shame when they make a mistake or somebody points something out.
Yeah.
But shame is imposed by others. It's not self-built. It's usually, I like the way one person said it, what is created as a we with time and age becomes a me because the other person who was part of the we is gone that imposed that shame. And so I had to learn to overcome shame myself because I grew up with shame on you. So I told stories on myself about all my mistakes. Things I did that were embarrassing and dumb, and I'd laugh, and people would laugh, and all of a sudden I had less shame.
Yeah. Alice, you have a thought here?
I want to differentiate shame from conviction, because I think in shame we become paralyzed and we isolate, we withdraw from relationship, and we withdraw from growth. But we all do need truth about our areas of weakness and the real mistakes that we have made. But conviction comes with grace and love, empathy, and understanding, and that launches us into growth.
Yeah, that's a great point, Alice. It's not to be confused with conviction and your conscience that I've done something wrong. Yeah, great
and
point.
We don't want to shut down that conviction or your conscience. Now, some people might say, I can't get rid of shame today. No, maybe not. Some people, I mean, I've gotten rid of shame in one day. I did. I mean, I came to Jesus. I mean, I came back to Jesus, and it was stunning how the shame just lifted. But here's what you could do if you don't have that kind of experience. You could call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and say, give me those 10 tips to shame-free living, because we've got those for you right here. If you want to join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. When we come back, we're going to go to Sandy. She has been already called, and so we're going to go to her. We can go to you after that, 1-800-229-3000. And don't forget, 10 tips to shame-free living. We can get that. Not conscience-free or conscience-free, however you would say that. I'll figure it out at the break. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Here's something to think about. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And I did not see the word shame in there. I don't think it's good to be thinking about that shame. We need to think of the pure and right and lovely and admirable things. You know, Dave Stoop was so good in understanding the power of self-talk and just how impactful it can be both ways. Destroy you or help you be something that maybe you didn't know you could be because the thinking and the self-talk starts to change. All right, let's go to Sandy, Temple, Texas, KBBW. That's where she listens. Hi there, Sandy. How are you today?
Doing okay. How are y'all?
Doing all right. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I've been married to an avoider for a long time, and I guess I had some signs, but I just, you know, when we would go meet somebody in the mall that he knew, he would talk to him, but he wouldn't ever introduce me. And I kind of thought that should be, you know, kind of a key thing. But I've spent many a wedding day celebration sitting by myself at a table while he goes around the room working the room. And I don't know. I guess I've spent a lot of time speaking to the side of his face and not being able to get his attention. And so I just wonder, I kind of wonder if he's a narcissist. He seems very, very, very self-centered, and he'll admit it, and he says he'll do better, but I just wonder if I'm expecting too much. You know, well, maybe he's just not capable.
Well, Sandy,
we were coming
Sandy,
home from oh, I'm sorry.
No. Now, hold on a sec. Do you really wonder if you're expecting too much, that he would introduce you, that he would look at you when you talk? You know, there are a lot of avoiders that are still respectful of the people that they're in a relationship with. It's just when conflict comes up or something, they don't want to engage, and they walk away from that. But him not introducing you to somebody that he's speaking with is kind of like treating you like you don't exist. Totally disrespectful. Mylan, what are you thinking about this? She says he's an avoider. Seems like to me he's more than just an avoider.
I think, Sandy, to validate your perspective, that this would be very hurtful because he's ignoring you. And to be ignored is a very hurtful place. And I want you to know we see that. I feel that, and I can tell from your pain. You know, respect is earned. It's not given. And I noticed you laughed a lot when you would talk about some of his things that he did that were hurtful. You would laugh. And I wonder how often he does not see the real you. I wonder how often he sees at least a passive you or an accepting you. Or do you ever get mad at him? Do you ever tell him what you would like to have happen?
Yes, I started doing that about, maybe 16 years ago, and he didn't seem to like that very well. He was shocked that that I wasn't going to, you know, just keep. I guess he wasn't aware of, you know, how I felt, kind of hopeless that things were going to change.
Yeah, things don't happen without communication. Things don't happen without a protest. Things don't happen, and But if he is not used to seeing other people, avoiders have what I call a learned otherlessness. They don't see others well. And so you're going to have to not accept, hope, or expect a change to take place just silently because you're praying about something. You're going to have to voice that. And you're going to have to, you know, when you walk away from the mall and just say, now, why did you not introduce me? You know, that's unacceptable. And you're going to have to require that he, and ask him to do something different. It doesn't mean you rage at him or that you, you know, blast him. It just means you're going to ask him for something different. What would you say, Alice?
Sandy, was there a time when things were different and he treated you well?
Well, and I've only given you a small perspective. He does. He can be very sweet, and he'll, you know, go out of his way to, you know, do things. And occasionally he'll remember to, you know, ask me if I want something when he gets up or whatever. But just to be clear, earlier I wasn't laughing. I was sobbing.
You've been lonely and hurt in your marriage, maybe the majority of it, although there are small exceptions when he does consider you in your heart. Now, it could be that he is selfish and a narcissist, and that's probably at least partially true, if not fully. And I also wonder, as we started the show with shame, I wonder if shame or hurt potentially motivate his disconnection from you. What would be your guess about that? Yeah,
I think he's a hurt person. He had a hard life. He had several stepfathers and grew up without his real dad. And he's a real tender-hearted person. I mean, he sometimes, you know, too much. I think he'll watch love movies and he'll cry and stuff. But I don't know. I just don't know if he's capable of ever changing.
I understand I understand why you ask that question, because he may be capable of superficial interaction, but when it comes to eye contact with his wife, when he knows that there's years of disconnection and hurt between the two of you, he may be overwhelmed by the disconnect and hasn't acquired the skills to do the repair work since he had little to no modeling in his own childhood. Is there one additional hurt you would add that has occurred within your marriage, whether it was by both of you or one of you perpetrated the hurt? What has added to the wedge between you two? One thing.
I'm sure that I haven't respected him the way I should. It's hard to respect him when I'm not well and he won't even help me.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
Or he won't do certain things. If he doesn't want to do it,
And I heard an admission from you earlier too, Sandy, that for maybe the first half of your marriage you didn't speak up about what you were thinking and feeling, and perhaps you didn't have the skills to do so either. And when we don't speak up, because Sandy, I'm an avoider. I'm a conflict avoider and a people pleaser. I'm in recovery too. But it is so hard for me to make eye contact with my loved ones, especially when there's tension. I want to avoid that deep connection. And when we do that for years, resentment builds up in us and it leaks out at our spouse, even in small ways. So I want to offer that you would make another attempt with your husband as you're learning new skills, and you have been for a couple of years, it sounds like. And you might tell him gently, I wish that I had more of your attention. And I think that there's a lot that's gotten in the way between the two of us. And I know on my end of it, I haven't always respected you, and I've carried resentment. I haven't known how to talk about this, and I want to learn how to do this differently. And I know you carry that hurt from your childhood. Let's go in and get some professional guidance for this so we can both learn to do this differently. How do you think he'd respond to that?
I've said those things to him a number of times, years and years ago he said, everybody that, you know, he doesn't trust counselors, and he won't go. He went one time to a church counselor, and he didn't like the guy, so he just...
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think, given the pattern that's been established, given his entrenchment in being the way he is, and obviously he gets energized talking to these other people. You say he works the room, but you kind of cease to exist in his mind. I think it would be helpful if you went ahead and made an appointment with a counselor, and you tell him, this is the counselor, this is why I chose this one, reputation is great, and we can help you find one, and I'd really like you to come with me. After all of our time together, I think it's time you come with me. I realize you had a really bad experience years and years ago, but that's one counselor in a world of many. And I want a connection with you that we just don't have. And if you'll come with me, I think you're going to find that there's more to our relationship that can be satisfying for both of us, but I really need you to do this. Please come. And whether he comes or not, you go. Then when you go, you come home and you tell him how that went, how great the counselor was, and then you ask him to go the following week. To me, that seems like your best hope is to go ahead and make the appointment, ask him to join you, and you go whether he does or not. Now, any final words here for Sandy?
Well, Sandy, when these attempts that we're offering still don't work, but I agree, it's time to try again, then you get the therapist's help in changing your behavior. So you may decide, public events with you are too painful when you won't include me in conversation, and so I need to choose for a time not to go, until you're willing to get the help with me. And you build up those kind of limits to protect your heart from these repeat pain that you've been experiencing for all these years.
Yeah. Well, I hope and pray that something we've said there is helpful. Now, as we tell everyone, in these kind of potentially impossible situations, they become possible for change at our intensive. And we're doing that, and I wish he would come to that, because in one weekend we could get a lot of trajectory change going with him. And we're going to be doing that July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th in Washington, D.C. And I just would hope that anybody that is struggling, if you could go with your spouse to that, it is the best help in the least amount of time that we know of, and we're always trying to make it better and better. All right, let's go to John, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Listens on Sirius XM satellite radio. Hey, John, how are you today?
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
I have a question about my son, 19 years old, about possible depression, or if there's something else we should be looking at.
What are you seeing in him?
He was a great kid, or is a great kid. First part of February, he got something happened with him. He his first girlfriend broke up all about the same time, so that may play into it. And then he got angry with us, which is uncharacteristic of him. And then he got just really talking strange, hyper-religious, more so, way more than usual. We had him in the hospital for a couple of days. They found elevated, elevated something in his urine. I forget what it was now. But it was nothing they said to be, ammonia, that's what it was. It was nothing they said to be worried about. They got it down. They never diagnosed him with anything. They sent him home after a few days. He was just kind of out of it a little bit. And he slowly got better. But his sleep from that point forward, his sleep has never been good. And then he was doing good. He got back to work last week. Him and his ex-girlfriend made contact again by text message. And he has went downhill. He was actually, they called 911 on him at work. His eyes dilated, his heart races, pulse shoots up. Nobody can diagnose him, and we're trying everything we can. We don't know where else to go.
All right. Well, I'm really glad you called, and I hope we can give you some good direction here. You know, things happen things happen in life, and one thing piled on another. A little bit of struggle here on top of a breakup or stress, on top of some kind of nutritional problem, and it can become, well, you become dependent on the people around you to get you help. We'll talk about that after.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we are talking here with John and just wondering, you know, what is going on with his son. Really sad to see such a downturn, and curious. John, just answer this real quick. Since that admission into inpatient and no diagnosis, what help have you guys gotten for him? Has he been to see a counselor or anything like that since then?
He talked to a psychologist on the phone one day. They set him with a psychiatrist, which just prescribed him medicine over a telehealth visit. He has seen his PCP doctor. They're recommending neurologists. He has seen one neurologist, but nobody has come up with anything other than just giving these medicines just the other day.
And what do you know what medicine they were giving him?
One was supposed to help him sleep. I forget the name of it, start with an S. The other one was supposed to treat, if you read it, about everything, bipolar, depression, anxiety. It's supposed to treat about everything, but okay. I'm not sure the name of it.
Okay. All right. So, Alice, what do you think here? What might be a good next step here to help this boy?
John, I'm sure you and the providers and your son's mother are all talking about this, what we call differential diagnoses, where we're looking at everything that contains similar symptoms to try to put a name to what is happening with your son. So, of course, I wonder about substance use. I wonder about psychosomatic symptoms, where mental health symptoms present themselves with physical symptoms, but it could be connected to anxiety, depression, trauma, and there could be a mix of the two. So this is very difficult to tease out. And I mentioned trauma, the loss of this girlfriend and then the reconnection with her at some level may have been quite traumatic for your son. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's a combination of everything that I am listing out. So the fact that you have been trying to bring together a treatment team is the right approach to take. And I hope that you and your son's mother are in close contact with all these providers to give as much and get as much information as possible. So of everything I have listed out, what else do you know is taking place with him? Do you suspect substance use?
Not at all. Not at all. They tested him actually when they took him to the hospital, and there was nothing in him. I would bet 100% he's not.
Okay.
The only thing, I mean, he has symptoms. He complains now that his head is tingling and his neck bothers him. And like I say, his eyes will dilate. He'd be home with us all weekend, and it just comes and goes. Mm. It gets worse.
So, John.
We don't know.
John, did your son ever have any other traumas in his life early on in his childhood or adolescence?
Well, at 12 years old, he had a bubble on his bladder. They did robotic surgery to take care of that. And he broke his clavicle that they had to repair playing football. Other than that, no.
Okay.
That's not traumatic.
Yeah. I think you're doing the right thing. You're going to have to continue to pull the team together and find the places that give him a sense of comfort. I think there's a lot of panic going on in him. At some level, high levels of anxiety, and with his elevated heart rate, and that he's going into some sort of a state where work has to call 911. So a lot of times people, when they panic, they freeze and they just completely shut down and collapse. And I would really want to evaluate that, not just in a telehealth, but trying to get him in front of people to meet him and to really, as Alice said, continue to pull this whole team together. But I would really add anxiety into the mix here, because he really looks like he's having, sounds like he's having panic attacks to me. And that's important.
Yeah. You know, John, this, when I hear of a situation like this, this is where, I'll just say it this way. This is where you dip in to your retirement fund to get him to the best place possible where they can do a complete workup, where somebody is looking at his blood work, urine analysis, like you were talking about, and then giving him a series of tests and truly coming up with what has happened to him. Now, let's just simplify this. So you go through all this, and they say, well, here's what happened. The girlfriend deserted him, and he's never dealt with loss before, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think it's very complicated, and if it was my son, I would want to go to the best place possible, because this is mysterious. It doesn't fit enough stuff to where people can say, here's what he has. Dad, here's the treatment we're going to prescribe. Here's the medication that we think helps it the most. So I would really think about, you know, Menninger Clinic or just any place that could do a complete workup for you and for him, so you know what you're dealing with, rather than him spend the next few years struggling and no one really knowing because they haven't looked at the complete picture. Another option is the Amen Clinic and doing a complete workup there. They look at hormones, they look at all of these different things, do the brain scan. I'd want to know everything possible. One time Dr. Amen told me there was a situation like this. The boy had a brain tumor, and nobody had taken the time to look at that possibility. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. I'll send John the Soul of a Hero for him. I'll send the Emotional Freedom Workbook. It's not going to fix everything with this young man, but I want to help him find the best resource possible, because now's the time to do it at 19, not waiting, messing around, and then at 29, finally doing what needs to be done.
Steve, one other thought about that. The hyper-religiosity is also curious and may fit some of the profiles of certain diagnoses, but I also wonder if this young man has sought comfort in something questionable in the spiritual realm, and that there could be spiritual warfare involved. And so that should be some of the questioning as well of what has he done spiritually to comfort himself.
Yeah, very, very good. Well, speaking of questioning, let's question Larry Sonnenberg and see what he has brought into the studio for us today. Hey, Larry, what do you have here?
Steve, well, workshops. The thing I like about New Life is every workshop we're going to do, I think, is the best thing we do. You know, we come up on every man's battle. Boy, that's the best thing this ministry does. We come up on marriage. This is the best thing this ministry does. You know, every one. And so we've always got something like that, and every man's battle is the candidate right now, because that's the next one we're going to do. And they're not, one is not more important than another. They're just all great. So I wanted to read a testimony.
Okay.
This is a short one from a gentleman that went a few months ago. He says, this weekend I was able to find the acceptance and connection that I have been longing for in my life. The men that I met this weekend are now brothers, and I look forward to the things we will accomplish together. This weekend allowed me to experience freedom from my shame in a way that I never expected. It's also reopened the door to my relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior. Thank you, New Life.
Mm.
I just feel, we did what we needed to do. These guys are connected, and they've reconnected with the Lord, and what could be better?
I'll bet if there was a shame calculator, I bet at every man's battle, more shame gets taken care of there than anywhere else.
It does, and that's no little thing. That is a really big thing, because shame is what keeps these guys from being vulnerable, sharing really what's going on in their heart and in their lives. And we tell guys at the beginning, if you have a secret you thought you were going to go to the grave with, this is where you share it. And they do.
Yeah.
And it makes a difference.
Well, and confession is the antidote for shame, because you are revealing the very things you want to hide to protect yourself. So that's the beauty of it all, that every man's battle, as well as the marriage workshop and the others, people come, they share, and they also see they're not alone. Isolation promotes shame. So these things really do help to heal that.
And this is taking place in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio. There are probably a dozen states that you can drive from to get to Columbus.
Yeah.
And so
California,
Alaska.
Yeah. Not Hawaii.
Here's something.
Drive there.
There's no excuse. We have to deal what we need to deal with. But sometimes these guys come and they realize that what they're struggling with today is something that started when they were 4 years old, a trauma or an exposure to something, and you start to understand, well, no wonder this happened. And there's just something encouraging to a person who struggled, didn't know how. They get to the source, they deal with it, and they walk out of there with hope and some healing and a band of brothers that want to help them. And if you are married to a guy struggling with sexual integrity, the greatest favor you could ever do for you, your marriage, and him is to call us, because a lot of the men are there because the woman picked up the phone. Larry, anything else you want to add?
Well, I just want to encourage folks to continue to support New Life. Without your support, we don't do these workshops. We don't do this radio program. There's so much we don't do if you're not supporting us financially. It's important, and we appreciate it. Thank you, everybody who is or will be. But if you've never given, this is the time. You know, someday is today, so make that gift today for us, please.
And don't forget, we have to pay for our radio time. New Life Ministries pays for the airtime in the majority of stations that they're on. So you're listening because supporters help to support this radio station.
Yeah. Radio is the biggest expense, and it's the biggest ministry that reaches the most people. And if you can help us, please do. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Appreciate that. Larry, thank you very much. I'm going to go to Sue. Sue has called us at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for another hour. If you want to join us, we would love to have you on the program. 1-800-229-3000. Sue, welcome to New Life Live. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay. Yep, it's a good day. How could we help?
Well, I have a 10-year-old granddaughter who has been diagnosed with OCD. She has gotten worse and worse. Until this last week, her mother has called us 3 times just beside herself and crying. She said, there's no one to help. And I have heard recently that a lot of counselors are putting counseling children. She has been in counseling, and she's done some type of a a brain scan. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact name of it. But this last week, my daughter just cried. She said, there's no one to help. There's long waiting lists for children at a lot of clinics. And I called you because if he were alive, Dave would have been my first, Dave Stoop would have been my first call.
Hmm.
Good friends, and I thought, New Life, Steve Arbor, that's who might know. We're just looking for what is the right route for her. Right now, they have whoever she's been to has decided to take her off of Zoloft. They've been weaning her off, and maybe that's why she's been particularly worse this week. And they say they're going to put her on another drug, particularly for OCD, and something with Benadryl or some antihistamine to kind of relax her more.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is it that she, what is she doing obsessively and compulsively that is obvious?
Well, the one thing is the hand washing. She'll wash it, be in there forever. I think my daughter's tried to shorten that out. I don't know if it has much. She has a little sister who's 7, and that poor little girl cannot do anything. They have to share a bedroom, and if her sister even touches her bed, she just screams and yells at her.
Yeah.
She doesn't, at night, it'll be 2.5 hours that she will back up before they can ever get her to bed. It's
okay.
All
right. So here's what I'm here's my 2 cents, and then I want to hear from Alice and Mylon. But here's what I think is the best thing that you could do. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, you say to her mother that this is the time in situations like this when a great parent is a resourcing parent. And I know I've heard you say there's no one to help. Rather than give up and function believing that, now's the time for you to go the extra mile and find the resource. Now, what city do they live in? I know you're in Nashville. Where do they live?
They're just outside of Nashville, and
okay.
Us.
Because, you know, that's a place, lots of friends there. There are a lot of resources in Nashville. It's not a different thing. And so I would be encouraging your daughter that, hey, this is the time for you to do whatever it takes to find the right resource. And that means calling, going online, asking. Looking up online the best professionals for OCD and young children. I think, you know, if you'll hold on, we want to do that. We want to help you, but more than that, we want to help the mother see this isn't the time to think about, well, what does my insurance cover or whatever. This little girl needs some help. And if it's OCD, there are some medications that really do help a lot there, and maybe she is worse because she's going off of one to get on the right medication. And if that's the case, then we shouldn't panic. We should just try to comfort her through this transition where you have to get off of one before you start taking the other. That might even mean her sister sleeps in the living room for a couple of weeks or whatever, just to help her during this time. When we come back, we'll hear from Alice and Mylon on what to do when a 10-year-old is really struggling like this. You want to get the help early.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we have a 10-year-old obsessive compulsive disorder. Mylon, you and Alice, what are your thoughts here? What could be helpful in a situation like this?
Sue, I want to give your family an additional angle to consider, because oftentimes a child's symptoms point to a deeper family issue that could be taking place. And so not only does the 10-year-old need the support and the treatment, of course, but the parents are likely going through stress related to their daughter and otherwise. And the way they handle their own stress can exacerbate her presentation of distress. And so parental counseling to treat their own anxiety and the way they handle their daughter can really ease her symptoms. So whether that's individual or couples counseling, family therapy, or a group such as NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, which is a free group, and it provides parents with both the support and the education when they're dealing with the symptoms of a family member.
All right, Mylon, your thoughts here?
Sue, was there any correlation to some sort of an event and the timing that would trigger the onset of a more acute case of OCD? Is there anything that has happened in this little girl's life that we should pay attention to?
Well, I really can't think of, you know, anything totally unusual that would do that. I tell you what, my husband just reminded me. When she was born, she did not breathe for a few minutes. I'm not sure how many. And whether that could have something to do with it, her mother does not know.
Is her father in the home?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Her father.
But
her father is under stress. He's in a job he doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And her mother works at her school with special needs children. But I just don't know what else.
Okay, well, you said something that's important. I'll be very brief here, but I want you to really listen. Anxiety is really an extreme. OCD is really an anxiety disorder, and it's extreme fear. The child is experiencing extreme fear. And so there's also the need to work on and find out and explore things that are hidden, things that are not obvious. I think of you know, things that are very concerning that could start a child into deep levels of fear, like being sexually molested by someone, a close relative, or something, someone that the child knows but was betrayed. And so we need to look for all these kinds of things. But Steve and Alice are right. You live in a very great town for resources, but every single thing needs to be explored, and perhaps the right medication will do that. But again, the parents could be contributing to this based upon they're being stressed by the child, and then he's not happy with his job, mm-hmm. and I have no idea how mom and dad are handling that together. And it's a whole family system equilibrium issue here too. But we know that the right medications can really slow down the fear factor, but it's also important to find out the source. What precipitated it?
So I've worked with a number of families where a child, unbeknownst to the parents, was being exposed to frightening digital content,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whether it was a scary video game, mm-hmm. frightening books that the mm-hmm. child was reading offline even, frightening movies that the child was seeing. And especially if the radar isn't high for that in a home, children are exposed at such young ages, and the fear can be overwhelming, generated from just that digital experience. That's a good area to explore. And lastly, the Mylon and Kay's comfort circle. My goodness, that helps a parent find the hidden roots to a child's strong emotions like nothing else I've ever used. So I want you to look into that.
Well, we'll send you How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, both. See if that could be helpful. I think that it really will. You know, another thing that someone needs to explore is sometimes a highly sensitive child will, in the home under stress or distress, start to exhibit these kinds of things because they're internalizing everything and they feel it differently. Even overhearing a conversation about dad's miserable at work, but hearing it over and over again especially. So I want you to hold on. Let's see if we can't help you find a specialist there. And then also I'll send you How We Love and How We Love Our Kids. That bond and that understanding of what's going on may be the most valuable thing ever, but help that mom to become the resourcing mother. Today I received we had a friend over last evening, and she wrote a devotional, Jean Ann, and she sent it to me through my wife Misty, and I want to read this to you as we close out today. It says, "Haven't you wanted to be further along in your recovery, fully reconciled, healed, and restored from your struggle or addiction? I know I have. I've wondered how long it will take for it to end. I've wanted the recovery process to quicken and to hurry, but it just doesn't. It's long, tedious. It takes work, hard work. Having dinner with friends reminded me of this same principle. Their 12-year-old daughter," of course that was Amelia, "said that she couldn't wait to be 16 years old." Now, did you ever say that at your age? I did. "After encouraging her to enjoy being young in her youth, I thought to myself, I can't wait to be years ahead in recovery. But as the 12-year-old young teen has more to learn, grasp, and grow before she turns 16, I also have more to learn and to grow in my walk with the Lord as well in my recovery journey. I just cannot leap ahead." Well, isn't that the way life is? We just want everything to be better instantly when God has a process, has a plan. And it reminds me of Jeremiah 6:16. It says, "Stop at the crossroads and look around and search for the old godly path. Walk in its steps and you will find rest for your soul." There's no new age philosophy. There's no new thing. It's following the path of God. And that path leads us to other people who are committed to God's truth and they want to help. And for you just to do the minimum or just do whatever is cost effective or whatever, rather than just do anything and everything to find the right resource for yourself and for other folks, if you don't do that, you just don't know what hope is just around the corner, over the hill, around the bend. It just could be there. Don't give up. God hasn't given up on you. You don't give up on God. We're going to do another program right after this. And by the way, thanks, Jean Ann, for that devotional. Couldn't read all of it. Don't have time, but so helpful. If you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. Also, we have these 10 tips to shame-free living by emailing or to call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com, the website. We can get them to you. And I hope that today is a shame-free day for you, that you'll accept Christ's forgiveness. He really went to a lot of trouble for you not to live in shame. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Alice. And thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and pray. Come join us, 1-800-229-3000.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.